Bonjour.
Hello and welcome to this new edition of So French, the show about the twists and turns, intrigues and insights to all things French.
Every 2 weeks we select the best, most interesting and fascinating of French news stories, all brought to you from our studio in the heart of Paris. My name is Stefan de Vries.
And my name is Sarah Bertelson.
And this week, everybody seemed a bit angry at Emmanuel Macron, the railway workers, the Italians and some MPs who risk losing their job due to new reforms.
And if you are afraid of asking a grumpy French waiter for a doggy bag, there's hope for your leftovers. First, the recently deceased genius Stephen Hawking, he warned that artificial intelligence could actually kill mankind at one point. Maybe that is why France is so eager to invest money and try to sort out this thing before it's too late. Tell me, Stefan, what is this all about?
Yeah, Emmanuel Macron organized a big conference this week in Paris, and he presented a huge program, AI for Humanity, that is AI, artificial intelligence, so when machines start to think for us. France wants
that
to invest.
That would be nice, though.
Yeah, I don't see the problem.
Can't see any issue with that.
The humans messed up. Maybe the computers can do better. But at least he sees this as a chance. So France is going to invest 1.5 billion euros in the next couple of years.
In what then? So what are what will these investments actually be?
Well, I assume in technology, but also in research, because now China and the US are leaders in artificial intelligence, and Macron wants France to become the world leader on this topic. So he presented a report that was written by Cédric Villani. He's one of the world's best-known mathematicians. He's also an MP for Macron's
quite
party.
A character.
Quite a character, yeah. Especially he's not only extremely smart, but he has also some interesting nicknames. Spider-Man is one of his nicknames because of the fleshy spider brooches he sometimes wears. And some people call him a rock star or even the Lady Gaga of the mathematicians.
Not bad. Anyone, yeah. I mean, Google him, please.
Yeah,
Cédric Villani. His outfits are quite
interesting. Yes, absolutely. But he's also he's relatively young. He's not even 40 years, and he's a member of parliament.
He got the Fields Medal.
He
won the most prestigious prize for mathematician.
And so he's a very interesting figure in the French parliament because he's not a professional politician. He's a scientific. And that shows that Macron really, he finds science very important and, of course, also the future. Now, Macron said that he thinks that artificial intelligence will disrupt all the business models. And so he said, I want to be part of it. He also said that at the same time, artificial intelligence can be dangerous. It can be a threat to democracy, something that we're seeing now, for instance, with Facebook and the Cambridge Analytica scandal, where a lot of data of the users are basically used for, political reasons. Most of Facebook it works on artificial intelligence already. So it shows that how dangerous it can be. But at the same time, it's also a lot of business. It's interesting. It's the future, Macron thinks, and he wants to be part of the future. Now, the French ambitions are already paying off. One of Facebook's most important research centers in the field of AI is already in Paris. And only recently, companies such as Google, Samsung and Fujitsu, they announced that they will open their AI labs in the French capital as well. So artificial intelligence is here to come. It will be part of France. And Macron clearly took a big progress this week by announcing this major investment program.
Now, to another story.
Neighbors.
Neighbors. Always tricky.
Always tricky,
Neighbor story, never an easy relationship to have. And tensions have been running high between France and one of its neighbors this week.
Yes, there was a fight with Italy, a very serious one, actually. Last week, five French border guards entered Italy Italy says it was illegal, but they carried out a drug test on a Nigerian man in a train station, Barnonekia, which is a ski resort, but it's also the first station after the French-Italian borders.
They followed him because they thought he carried drugs,
yes.
Right? So they followed him on the train.
Yeah, and they were armed.
And they were armed, and then they took him to this.
Yeah. And so the drug test was negative, but there was a humanitarian organization in the same station was very shocked. They informed the police, the Italian police, and now Italian politicians and the media, they are furious about what some media even called the invasion, the French invasion.
There has been some quite strong words.
Very strong.
If you saw that Macron, the invader, was on the front page of one of the Italian newspapers
absolutely.
This week. And even the Italian public has been very upset about this, how French police just entered the country and decided to go after someone on not their territory.
Yeah, absolutely. And Rome has even summoned the French ambassador, which is very rare between the two countries because they're very close friends, of course, they're allies. But this was really one step too far, and even the Turin, in the north of Italy, the Turin prosecutor's office has opened an investigation for abuse of power, even illegal search. So it was a big thing.
So France will now apologize? First
they said, they issued a press release saying the checks were legal, based on a very old treaty between Italy and France. If you look, you will find. But then the Italians became even more angry. And so the French responsible minister, Gérald Darmanin, he's responsible for customs. He had to apologize in a national Italian newspaper. And he will visit also his counterpart in Italy somewhere over the next couple of days. So it's a really serious...
Bring some champagne maybe, I don't know. Some gifts might be able to lighten things up a little bit.
But the Italians are really, really angry. And I think it also has to do with the fact that the Italians feel isolated because of course, a lot of migrants come through the Mediterranean. And the first place they arrive is either Greece or Italy, and the rest of Europe, they basically say, well, you know, that's Italy's problem, and they're not really showing any solidarity with Italy. So
has been other cases as well where the French border guards have really chased back migrants and immigrants across the border.
There's a lot of already since 2 years some kind of cat and mouse game between police and migrants in Ventimiglia or near Ventimiglia, which is close to Nice. The Italians have been complaining about the way police officers are behaving. So it's a serious matter.
And this is not the first time.
No.
I mean, there is a history.
There's a long history of border quarrels between Italy and France.
There's one in particular. I want to hear about this.
Well, Napoleon Bonaparte, he entered the country
illegally. Of course,
illegally.
You can always bring back a story in France.
Yes, but if we go further back, then it was, of course, Julius Caesar who came to France. So, you know, there was equality. But there's a serious fight between the two countries already since a couple of years. The Italians, they accused France of stealing the Mont Blanc. That's
not an easy one to put in your pocket.
No, but apparently the French were very smart. In 2015, according to the Italians, French bulldozers pushed the border stone 150 meters into Italian territory, making, the EU highest peak effectively French. And this is a dispute, a border dispute, that has not been settled yet.
And they didn't manage to push it back?
Yeah, that's a good suggestion. I don't know why they didn't, actually. Maybe they were having
to steal a mountain. That
is a great story.
Incredible story. It might.
Yeah, but so the French and Italians, not a very good week for those neighbors.
Now, this week we have seen the beginning of what will be 3 months of strikes with the railway workers here in France. We talked about it earlier, the reform plan of Macron. They want to change the status of the railway workers and maybe what many are fearing, privatize the now public railway company here in France. So we did see this week the first 2 days of protest that will now, it will be it's called La Unperlée of strikes. I love how they can find these names in Perle. It's like a pearled strike.
It sounds very poetic.
It's very poetic. It wasn't a very poetic when it happened. But no. So it's 2 days of striking, 3 days of back to work, 2 days of strike, 3 days, and then it goes on and on. And for 3 months, yes, this will go on for a long, long time, all the way until June. But it's not only the railway system that is undergoing some reform and some changes. Other institutions are also looking to change.
Yeah, those are the parliament, the Senate and the Assemblée, the lower house and the upper house. This was part of Macron's election promises. He said he was going to reform the parliament. And it's interesting because basically it's about turkeys voting for Christmas. Because Emmanuel Macron wants to reduce the number of French MPs by 30%. There are now about 925 members, both in the Senate and in the Assembly. And that will be 650. So approximately 300 MPs will lose their jobs.
So but they're voting for their own...
Absolutely. Yeah, that's interesting. This is going to be interesting. Yeah, because they will have to reform the constitution, which is always a very long process. But indeed, the MPs will have to vote for their own redundancy. It's going to be a long fight. And one of the other things that Emmanuel Macron would like to change is to introduce a part of proportional seats. Now, the French parliament is being elected by a majority system. But critics say it doesn't really reflect society because it's very hard to get elected. And even if one of the two candidates wins 49% of the votes, then, you know, he's not represented. So Macron wants to change this. He proposed 15% of the elected assembly will be chosen via a system of proportional representation.
And you must say that, you know, this has been very criticized by the smaller parties that has, you know, small, like, for example, the National Front Party here in France, and also the La France Insoumise, the left-wing party, which, I mean, they didn't used to be the biggest parties, but they have gained quite big support over the last elections, and they have a very hard time of being represented, because in this majority system, they lose every time in the second round of voting.
Yeah, they get a lot of votes. For instance, Le Front National, I think they had about 20% of the votes in the last elections, and they only have 7 seats in the parliament.
Many are saying this is an unfair system. And what some are saying as well is that it contributes to the feeling of an unfair system.
Yeah.
That actually there is a system that is... an advantage for the traditional parties, for example, in the Socialist Party and the Conservative Party here.
Yeah, and people who are against the proportional system, they say, well, if we do this, then the Front National will become very big. But, you know, that's...
But they already are. Works.
Yeah, they already are.
It's a bit pretending that they don't exist. Yeah, they actually have, as we said, a big part of the electorate.
Yeah. Now, there were other things that were announced this week to reform the institutions, like, for instance?
Yeah, well, both chambers are filled with people who are very good at negotiation. Of course, it's their job. So this was a full package of reforms for the French institutions and for the National Assembly and the Senate. And I think that even Macron from the beginning wanted the part of the seats that were supposed to be from proportionate vote was about 20-25%. He had to
lower that
to about 15%. He also, during his campaign, promised that it would put an end to these lifelong politicians, and you would only be allowed to accumulate 3 mandates, one after the other. And, well, at the end of the day, it looks like this is actually will be the case, but... But this only applies to municipalities with more than 9,000 inhabitants. And it doesn't sound much, you could think. Yeah. But in France, that is 95% of the municipalities.
Wow.
So actually, this new law will only apply to about 5% of the French.
The biggest cities.
Biggest cities, exactly.
Yeah, and some of those MPs, they are like... At the same time, they're a mayor, they're a senator.
They can have like 20 different
job functions. Yeah, and every time there's a salary with a
some advantages.
Yes.
Speaking of privileged, which we have been talking about.
Now, what I found interesting is that there will also will be a special mention of the island of Corsica in the revised constitution. We talked about Corsica a couple of months ago. There were new elections. There were also nationalists who won the vote. Macron went to the island, probably negotiated with them. And now they're
getting this. And he promised that there would be a mentioning of Corsica, so it was part of it.
But it's interesting because in the French constitution, in the first article, it said that France is an indivisible republic, united and indivisible. So mentioning Corsica, it's interesting because it gives it a special status. It doesn't really, it's not really clear what Macron wants with this, but it's something the Corsicans wanted.
Maybe it's beginning of something. Yeah. I think that's what the Corsicans wanted, just at least to have some kind of recognition to start with, because what they have been threatening with, of course, is to push through with some kind of real independence bid unless they get something from the French state or from Paris.
And,
so.
And the French national government is always very, very scared for any independence movements. So they certainly don't want Catalan situation, but it's interesting. So now the MPs will have to vote for their own, well, end, basically. But it looks that voters are clearly in favor. 9 out of 10 French people, they support the reforms.
Vous écoutez SoFrench.
You are listening to SoFrench.
So now we've reached the point of the program that is a bit like, I would say, your segment, Stefan.
Food.
The food segment. The Stefan food segment. And this time we're talking not actually about the food, but the leftovers.
Yes, yes. Interesting development. For a long time, people in France were ashamed to ask for a doggy bag, so to take the leftovers back home. Probably because they fear the scorn of angry waiters, the famous Parisian waiters. But I must say, the last couple of years, it has become, well, maybe not normal, but more accepted.
You're still not suggested a doggy bag if you leave your food. But they won't, I feel they won't actually become upset if you would ask for one.
No. And usually they have some boxes or, you know, especially now, because you can order so much food online and they deliver it, almost all the restaurants deliver it. So they have boxes or bags. So it's not like before, but still it's not very usual, especially if you compare it to the USA where it's very normal. Of course, the portions in European restaurants are much smaller.
I was going to say that, because that is also a major thing. I know that the argument here has often been like, well, in France, you're told to finish your plate or your food. But the thing is, there's a difference between an American-sized portion and the French-sized portion, which is like one third or one fourth.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, in the US, it's almost you can eat from two people if you order one meal. So it's different here. But nevertheless, you know, people are becoming more aware that it's not a good thing to throw away food. And why should you? I mean, if you have a nice meal and you can't have everything, why not take it home? Now, the Union of the Restaurants in France a couple of years ago advised restaurants to propose doggy bags, or at least to have some boxes. It really didn't really take on. And now there's a proposal for a law to make it compulsory.
Would you have to? Then, I mean, so what if you don't want to bring your food back?
Well,
you're
going to
have this
punished.
Angry waiter running after you and like, take it.
Like little kids. You don't eat your food.
I wonder how this kind of works.
Yeah, no, it's interesting, but I think it's a good development.
It's interesting how everything has to go through a bill in this country.
That's
but we'll see. I mean, if it does something and reduces the food waste, of course that's a good thing. It was a couple of years ago that they actually forced, or they made it compulsory for all restaurants to take care or better care of their food waste, because restaurants, of course, is one of the places where the food waste is the worst. And remember also, we talked about this before, how French supermarkets are no longer allowed to destroy leftover or unsold produce.
Yeah, they have to give it away to charities.
Yeah, and apparently it's worked really well. Yeah. Many of the organizations that are collecting these non-sold or unsold things. They say that there's really been an improvement over the last years. I think it was in 2016 or something that this law came into to place. And yeah, there has been a change in attitudes and I think in just how people think about food waste nowadays.
Yeah, I think there's absolutely a change that people, well, people realize that the, you know, food is precious, you shouldn't throw it away. We've seen now supermarkets that are banning plastic, you know, packaging, for instance. So there's something going on, especially in big cities. You have a lot of bio supermarkets.
Organic.
Food. Yeah, it's a real trend. So it's an interesting development. So next time you're in a French restaurant and you want to take your meal with you, don't be afraid. Just ask for a doggy bag. And now this is just in, the latest news of a sports match.
Sports event.
We can give you exclusively probably the slowest arrival of any sports event.
Well, about a year after everybody else finished, the Vendée Globe, which is a very famous sailing competition.
Yeah, big event in France.
I think I would assume in the world of sailing.
Yeah.
I am not very familiar with this world, but it is a very big event here. It takes place every fourth year. It's one solo tour around the world without any assistance. So you have to deal with everything on your own. Well, it started in 2016,
yeah,
in November 2016. And the final competitor actually crossed the finishing line this week.
Because the winner, he came home after 74 days, so about 2 months. There was a record.
Yeah, exactly.
So that was in January 2017.
This man has been going he had some rough waters, we can say.
I can imagine.
It's Enda O'Coinin. He's an Irishman.
Yeah.
And, you know, well, he hasn't actually been sailing this whole time. And he isn't actually anymore officially in the competition because he was excluded after some time. But he decided to go through with it because what happened was that he took off from La Vendée, which is on the French Atlantic coast, in November 2016. But quite quickly, actually only after 2 months, on New Year's Day, his mast broke. He was somewhere south of New Zealand, in some of the most remote parts where you could ever find yourself. So he was quite unlucky.
And what did he do?
Well, I'm not sure exactly how he did this, but he managed to get some help and to get to New Zealand there, fix his boat. And he decided he was not going to give up. He's a true Irishman. Yeah, he's going to do this all the way.
He's
till
my
the
hero
end.
Of the week.
So he, you know, he took off again from New Zealand and went all the way to La Vendée, Les Sables d'Olonne, and, you know, finished across the finishing line. And I must say, I'm quite impressed. You know, that kind of you just don't give up. And the Vendée Globe is a very tough competition, especially since you don't have any help, you don't have any contact. You quite often hear these sailors when they come back, they've gone through some difficult moments because, of course, to sail around the world is not an easy thing to do, and especially when you're on your own.
Yeah, absolutely. So it took about like 16 months.
Yeah. So I say bravo.
Bravo. That's bravo our hero of the week. Were there any people in the harbor when he arrived this week? Or
I'm not sure how many, but I'm sure there was some people who were there to cheer him and to, you know, help him go through those last meters all the way into the harbor and come on safe ground again.
Well, I really admire him, the hero of the week, the Irishman Enda O'Coinin.
I actually have his final words. words. He's still alive.
Yes.
It's an honor. I thank all of you who followed the journey and supported us and our charity until the end.
Wow.
Very beautiful.
Beautiful.
And Now to a bit of a culture segment. Unfortunately, we tend to only talk about dead people in our culture segment. Yeah. I think we need to do something about this. Maybe next time we need to talk about someone who's still alive. Because this week we also found out about the death of a very famous French singer, I would assume completely unknown outside of France. But his name was Jacques Higelin.
Yeah, he passed away. He was 77 years old. He was one of the pioneers of French rock. In the early 70s, his songs were even banned from French radio because of the left-wing political lyrics. So he was a real hero, I think, in France. I didn't really know him well, but he started out in smaller venues in the 70s. By the middle of the 1970s, he already became one of France's most successful musicians, and he remains influential to this day.
He was something of an icon. Here in rock icon here in France, and he's collaborated with tons and many of the French musicians. And he had some pretty famous songs. We're gonna have a listen to one of them. Tombé du ciel à travers les nuages, quel représage pour un aiguilleur du ciel, tombé du lit, fauché en plein rêve, frappé par le glaive. Du réveil tombé dans l'oreille d'un sourd qui venait de tomber en amour la veille d'une hôtesse de l'air fidèle tombée du haut de la passerelle dans les bras d'un bagagiste un peu volage ancien tueur à gages comment peut-on tomber plus mal tomber du ciel. Rebelle aux louanges, chassé par les anges, du paradis originel, tombé du sommeil, perdu connaissance, retombé en enfance, au pied du grand sapin de Noël, voilé de mystère, sous mon regard.
Well, that was Jacques Higelin, who passed away this week. And that wraps up this edition of So French. We hope you have enjoyed it. Please follow us on Twitter at So French News. And if you have any questions or suggestions, send us an email. Our address is sofrench@sofrench.news.
And don't forget to subscribe to our podcast in iTunes or in the TuneIn Radio application and to share the podcast with your friends. And if you like French music, like Jacques Higelin, maybe, check out our playlist on Spotify. We'll definitely put some of his songs on that playlist. And we update it like regularly with other artists as well. You just search for So French Podcast or click the link on our website.
And we'll be back in 2 weeks with a new episode of So French online and on air on World Radio Paris.
We hope you will join us then. Thank you for listening.
Au revoir.